I haven't heard that song in a while, and I like it. We should sing that every Sunday before the sermon. It gets me ready to preach. Let the ancient words impart. If it's just my words, I got nothing for you. Honestly, if it's just me trying to be clever and have some life advice, you're going to be disappointed. But these words are ancient. They really are ancient. These are the words of God. This is what he spoke. And so I hope today you'll hear him through this. And we've thought about this service a good bit this week and really just want to impart some hope for you at the end of the year and moving into 2026. Just by show of hands, feelings about New Year's. If you, for some reason, maybe I'm sure someone, if you actively dislike New Year's Eve and New Year's, raise your hand. Okay, good. No real haters. If you don't really care, New Year's, take it or leave it. It's not a big deal. It's just another day. Raise your hand. Yeah, okay. That's a lot. If you like New Year's, it's kind of, you go ahead and raise your hand. If you like it, okay, if you think it's cool. I'm kind of in that crowd. I like change. One of the things I kind of miss about U of H ministry is every semester is like a new beginning. Kids come and go, or young adults come and go so fast through that commuter-based college. It's a new beginning all the time. And there's something about the turning of the year that, you know, makes you think, you reflect on where you've been, where you want to go. And so, but I do recognize that's a mixed bag, isn't it? I mean, if you got some options, if you have some hope, it could be a really exciting time. But maybe you've had bad year after bad year, or 2025 wasn't what you expected, and you're wondering, is it just going to keep going the wrong way? Will my diagnosis develop in the wrong direction further? Will my job loss not get better? Will the debt get greater? Will we not be able to pay it off? Maybe there are relational struggles in your life. Most of us have them of some kind, where you thought that wound would heal by now, and it hasn't. And so you're wondering, well, I wonder if we'll go another year with a ruptured relationship. Maybe there are challenges at school that have you worried, or even sports. Maybe some people are really athletic, and they have big plans and hopes to make a team or get a scholarship. There's all kinds of things that could go wrong in 2026. You may be feeling like Gideon whenever God called him into leadership. He said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders? Where's been the good stuff? And why would I have hope right now? But in the New Testament, we see Jesus minister to people's fears like that. We see people afraid of the future, and Jesus speaks into that. So these are the ancient words I want to impart to you this morning. You can turn with me to John chapter 14. John 14 takes place in Jesus' sort of some of his last moments with his disciples in the upper room where he washes their feet and has a Passover meal with them. And he tells them that the Son of Man will soon be betrayed. He will die at the hands of men. And he goes on to talk about after he is raised from the dead, he's going to go be with the Father in heaven. And he'll come back for the disciples. And this is all just hard to fathom for them. And it leaves a lot of room for doubt and worry. Let's see. We'll start. So John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to him in verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And here's the key verse this morning. Jesus answers in verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." That verse 6, though, is really the key. I am the way. There are so many paths we can take in life, and there are so many variables of choices, possibilities, again, from health to stock markets to politics and grades and relationships, that you just never know where things are going to go. And it can be hard to make plans. It can be hard to have hope. But Jesus makes clear that, I mean, this is a strong word. I am the way. There is no other way. And I am fully convinced after years of deep study of this, it's way more simple than we've made it a lot of times. Life's complicated, but our faith and our journey with Jesus doesn't have to be. It's one of those things that is simple but not easy. His teachings are really clear. It's just hard to implement. Loving your enemies is not complicated until someone does you wrong and you feel betrayed, and then you have to forgive. And to actually put that thing into practice is a different story. But Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So wherever you're at this morning in life and you're wondering where to go, what the future holds, if you stay close to him on the trail of life, you will end up in the right place. He never says that we won't face storms or trials or car malfunctions on the road. He promises that he'll be with us in them and that he's coming back to take us home with him. So that could mean a good number of things for your life personally. And I want to think about also this kind of hope, not just on an individual level, but hope for us as a church. If you've been around for a while, maybe you haven't, maybe we have some visitors, it'd still be good for you to know a little bit about our church and our history, just a little bit. Won't go into it too deeply. But I want to think with you about our season of renewal that we've been in. These are some fun old pictures, if those are making out okay on the projectors, of the early bulletins and pictures of the building. The crowd at the bottom it's a picture from 1949 when the church had its groundbreaking ceremony, and some fun old artifacts. But it was on March 8th, 2024, not that long ago, that interim ministry partners showed up and came up with, sort of initiated their work at West University Church to help us move forward in a time when churches close weekly in the United States. Churches of Christ, if I'm not mistaken, one closes its door per week, and we're not alone in that. That's a common problem pretty much across denominations. But they came in to just help us think through, hey, what's going on at this church? There's a lot of faithful people. There's a lot of good stuff. What does the future hold? How can we go about moving forward? And one of the first things they did was create a renewal team of people who've been here, just different kinds of members to help us as a body to think through what has God been doing here and what might he want to do in the future. And we came up with strategies and a mission and vision. What you see beside me is the fruit of that. We have our mission statement on the right and our vision on the left. And the mission statement has three parts. It can be helpfully pictured on this little triangle of being led by the Spirit is the found. I like that that's at the bottom of the triangle. It's the foundation. And we're called to do something by the Spirit, that is, make disciples, but that can be kind of mechanistic and robotic. We're not just trying to crank out a product for God, but we're actually called to be a family. And I think that's a really strong mission. This is not really something that is, that we feel like we've come up with. This is just the body of Christ collectively praying and thinking through what God says in his word about who we're called to be and what we're called to do. And so I have a little timeline. Let me find my timeline. I don't have it in front of me. But so March of 2024, not that long ago, I had actually just stepped in as a not an interim preacher, but I preached for a month and a half around February 2024, right before IMP came in. And then in September of 2024 is when we had what we called Renewal Sunday, where a lot of the strategic committee came forward, and we presented the very thoughtful mission and vision that had been prayed over and come up with. And part of that is we also had strategies. We had certain things we wanted to do. So I just want to highlight some of the victories and some of the different things and look at some photos. You may have seen some of these before, but one of the things that was really clear in the surveys that the interim minister found, the consultant found, was that we really want to expand our ability to reach into the community, but also community within us. There's a striking statistic among us. So everybody in the church, if you weren't here, we took surveys, very in-depth. What do you think about Westview? How's your prayer life? All kinds of get-to-know-you questions, very deep. And one of the things that came out of that was an awareness that a lot of us, we come here, but we don't really sense a close friendship with a lot of other believers at the church. It seems like sometimes it's a place we clock in, clock out. So how can we, get together more and be family more? And that's really what I see for us in 2024, is just I see a lot of good-hearted believers who love the Lord and love one another. I mean to say this. I don't really fault us. I mean, to some extent, but really, truly, Houston is so spread out. Wayne and I live, I think, about 2 hours apart. I was thinking this through last night. So I'm on the south side. Wayne's on the north. You know, I'd love to be a good neighbor to Wayne. Maybe he calls me up and says, Clint, you know, we ran out of butter. You don't have any butter I could borrow. He wouldn't do this, by the way. Yeah, man, I got a stick of butter. I'll be right there. 2 hours up. So that's a four-hour trip to loan a stick of butter. He would be the one loaning me stuff if this were a real scenario. But you see how hard that is that we're actually a family. And it's actually remarkable that this has been such a strong hub for believers. And so I'm just excited. These are some photos of some of our strategies that were implemented. We had a Mahjong game day, this ancient Chinese game that's been all over the world now. There's American varieties and European. And we did a game day in concert with Beehive, the preschool that's attached to the church. Anna, who runs that preschool, is very passionate about the game. We have some players here that are very skilled and wanted to share, just play the game and also share their knowledge. Abigail had a table she was teaching to play as well. So those are some photos of that and just some hallway shots of people enjoying community. It's been a really beautiful year of that, as well as with young adults. There are a lot of, shout out to the volleyball players who are here today. I don't know what God's doing with volleyball these days, but I mean, we've got a bunch of volleyball players coming to West U. And so this is a young adult day that we had at the Taylor's house. The Taylors are always having people over. And certainly some volleyball broke out. I love this photo of Rohit. He's not here today, but he's quite the athlete. So that's been fun. Our chili cook-off not that long ago was even better than last year. It's always a good event, but I think the headcount this year was about 40 people came for chili and about 30 went to sing through the neighborhoods. Just a great time to go door knocking and see if we can share the love of Christ with the community. And that was a blast. We started off 2025, so going back to my timeline for a moment, kind of 2024 as I think of it was planning and praying and discerning, but 2025 has been a year, in my head anyway, as a minister, of like, this is our shot. Because the deal was, we had Brent from IMP told us, take 18 months, put all of this into practice, take some risks, try some things, do some ministries you never thought of before and just see what works and what sticks. And at the end of that period, come back and say, hey, how did it go? And how viable is this operation? That's coming up in May or June of 2026. So in my head, 2025 was a year to swing for the fences. It was a year to really just go. And I want to say to those of you who volunteered, I'm so proud of you. I'm getting emotional. I really am. It's been so good. But we started off 2025 with a lot of prayer meetings. I scheduled prayer meetings on Zoom. We had a bunch in person. And just really wanted to give this thing to God and say, Lord, this is yours. Take it. Do what you want with it. We're here to seek your spirit. This is how we engage the spirits, through prayer. So we had some beautiful prayer meetings. Did it skip one? No. We'll move on to worship renewal. That was one of the things that came back in the surveys as well. As we knew we have a lot of good singers in church and good song leaders. And yet with our size and the auditorium, different things, we really, and just the whole dynamic of how we do the service, we just wanted to think that through afresh and go, hey, how can we help this be more welcoming, was one really important facet of that. We want people, when they show up, to feel acclimated and like they can find their way around and really engage God. And one of the big changes, if you weren't here, is we've shifted, as you've already seen today, to having communion up front. That hasn't always been the case. That was implemented in 2025. That's part of the fruit of that. And the first step was getting the tables up here and just kind of taking a deep breath and swinging for the fences and going, okay, how will people react and what will we do? And we weren't just winging it. This was carefully thought through and trying to reflect the values of Jesus and so forth. And after that went well, we removed the first row of pews. You can see the markings on the floor when you come up here because we wanted to make more space. And I don't know about you, but I think this has been great. I really like breaking bread together up front. It really helps it feel more like a family, which was part of the goal. And, we had a specific sub-renewal team to think about worship. Met a few times. We briefly mentioned maybe we'll get another worship leader. It wasn't high priority. It was on there. I sent one email to a worship leader in Tennessee, just said, hey, if you know somebody out in Texas. I didn't even get a reply. But Brent emailed us and sent us this guy who's leading us today. And so we're glad Wayne and Eva have shown up and certainly been a joy to worship together. And it wouldn't be complete without telling you about baptism. Since the renewal process kicked in, we've had 7 baptisms. Praise the Lord. And John is one of those who's here with us today. And we've even updated the baptistry since that day, especially. We've noticed, okay, well, let's do this. And we have some more renovations coming. They're going to lay some wood-looking vinyl floors in there that are left over from Beehive and update the tiles in there. And we have new lighting and mirrors, and we've painted some pieces and that needed touching up. And it looks great, but all glory to God. This is what it's about. It's about spreading the word of Jesus and seeing new people give their lives to him. So now let's think about what lies ahead for us. So this has been just a small snippet of what, a lot more has happened. And I know that I only have my vantage point. I haven't seen everything that's happened, but this was just some of the highlights. There are a lot more. But let's think about our horizons. We've talked about the hope of Jesus. We've looked at our history, and now we're going to look at the horizon. What lies ahead for West U in 2026? So I want to take you back to really the longest sermon series I think we did all year in auditorium class, and just at the heart of this, making disciples. And we brought out a definition of disciple from Matthew 4:19, where Jesus says to his first followers, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's 3 parts of that. Follow me. A disciple is somebody who's following Jesus. They have no other Lord. They have checked that box, so to speak. They've said, okay, this is my Lord. I have no other. So this is somebody who's following Jesus. I will make you. It means somebody who is being transformed. We're not just saying yes to Jesus, but we're saying yes to his instructions. We're being changed. And last, fishers of men, is doing what Jesus did. Jesus said that he came to save, to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. And that he wants us to join him in his mission. It is the wrong way of thinking that we have our life's ambition, we just ask God to please bless it. What he calls us to is to lay down our lives, pick up our cross, and follow him in his mission of growing God's family. So a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. The question is, how do you do that? Now, that sounds nice and everything, but that's quite a pill to swallow. It's quite a journey to take. Well, we've thought through, again, the elders and I, about how does that work as a church? Because one thing about a building this size, and once you get past the house group size or a small group size, the dynamics change, communication structures change, infrastructure, and so forth. So we thought it'd be good to have a track to run on. Okay, so this is not necessarily linear, I mean, in general, but these are the kind of things that if you want to grow as a Christian, as a disciple, do these things. So I've divided them into 3 sections. So the first one is new, is get baptized. This is the initiation into the faith. I mean, it's our faith that saves us, but baptism is like cutting a covenant with God. You think of the wedding is not complete until they walk the aisle or at least say the vows, and a third party pronounces them, husband and wife. There's something that happens in that moment. In the same way, in baptism, our sins are washed away, and we are born again. So if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that today. But I don't want to say beginner track, but yeah, I mean, these are things all of us should be doing, and hey, you fall off, sometimes you got to get back on and go back. But baptism, reading the Bible, being committed to the congregation on Sundays as best you can, no work happens and things like that, but it's really important that we gather, and praying every day, encourage all believers, but especially new believers, it's actually easier to share your faith right when you begin. You don't have to have a big PowerPoint. Just tell people about the decision you made. To say, hey, I placed membership at West U. Hey, I got baptized. Hey, I've been reading the Bible. And just start sharing your faith. This year especially, I would want to encourage everybody to focus on this middle one, particularly the top piece, of joining a small group. In a size like this, I like it, but I actually don't prefer preaching like this as much as I do sitting around a table with people, hearing how their week's going. And that's where we really get into knowing, like, hey, what is God doing in our lives? And through the Spirit in the group, we can often see things we didn't see before. So I encourage you to join a small group. Right now, there's really two groups you could be in. I do count classes as that. I've lumped them into here. So if you're attending a Bible class, those are usually smaller groups. So that's good. On Wednesdays, we have different groups meeting in different parts of the city. Right now, there's 2. There's one in the building, And there's one at a coffee shop for young adults. And we want to start more. I want to help you start more. We'll talk about that in 2026. But that's where you really, I think, see the family thing more. It's so easy. And our church is smaller, so it's harder to just kind of come in and get out without talking to people. But I've been in bigger churches that I enjoyed, that it was very common for people to come watch the sermon especially and then go. And it was just like, as long as I got my fix, then I'm good. But if you don't have the family dynamic of faith, you're really missing out. I'm not condemning you for it. You're just missing out on so much good stuff. So to grow, you really want to be in some kind of a committed group of people that meet on a maybe a weekly basis, that talk about life and just know what's going on with one another, be in scripture and praying for one another. We'd love for you to serve on a team. We'd love for you to find a way to serve. You know, that's another thing that it's robbing you of an opportunity if you don't find a way to serve. God has gifted every person in this room with certain things that you're good at. Now, maybe you think, people tend to think of preaching or leading some kind of class. That's great if that's it. But sometimes, man, the greatest gift in the world is somebody who can make coffee. Somebody who can make coffee, who'll pick up donuts. I'm sure the audio-visual booth could use a hand. Basically, thank you. Yes, Josiah is in the back. He's holding up a sign-up sheet. There are ways you can serve. We want to plug you in. We want you. I think you'll enjoy church more if you feel like you're contributing. And just so this is how our fellowship works. It really is DIY, kind of user-friendly, user-driven. And you will be so blessed by serving. The people you will bless, it will become a blessing to you that you're doing that. But then the last piece of that middle column is about training to lead others. Jesus calls us not just to receive faith, but to share it. That can be scary. It's not complicated. And so last year we had a really fun workshop on disciple making and how to lead a very simple Bible study. And we might want to do those again in 2026. I can certainly help you with that. If you want one-on-one training, I would be glad to set up a Zoom or meet you in person and show you some very easy tools for starting a fellowship, for starting a small group in your house or at a coffee shop, something like that. And at the very end, they're thriving. This is all about going, right? So the first column is getting, and then it's growing, and then going. Where we want to send you out, we want you to be a missionary in your social circles, a missionary in your family, in your workplace. It's where you can lead a small group, lead a serve team, mentor new believers. So where are you in this journey with Jesus? In the process of becoming like him and joining him in his mission, of following him, saying yes, and then being transformed, and then being committed to his mission of making disciples, where are you? Think about it. I just want you to reflect a little this morning on, is that life for you? Is that what it's about? Or have we become distracted with other things? Maybe this morning you walked in here and you've been praying and fasting all week and sharing the gospel and you're just on fire. And I hope that's it. That's awesome. I love it when it's like that. But sometimes it's just not. We just need renewal, man. Life's can I don't know, it's short, but it can also feel long at times. And you get tired. You grow weary. Maybe this morning what you need is just that hope and encouragement to get back on the horse and to come back into God's family. And you need renewal. Or maybe you need to start for the first time. Maybe there's someone in here this morning, maybe it's you, that you've come in here thinking about Jesus and wanting to know him more and to follow him. I want to invite you to do that today. That we have a baptistry behind the curtain, behind the projector, we can baptize you, you can get started today. And I want to leave you with this word from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet full of doom and gloom, lots of negative thinking, and if you turn on the news cycle, there's plenty of negative in the world. And yet we get this hopeful word of God to Jeremiah, to the people of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So wherever you're at on the discipleship pathway today, wherever you're at on the journey with Jesus, you're invited to respond. If there's any need, you can come forward as we stand and sing.